generally, I think the business community is feeling good.
ConocoPhillips CEO Ryan Lance, a member of the Business Roundtable. Optimistic about the economy, but wary about regulation.
When you poll most of the CEOs today, it's attacking us from every direction.
An energy industry hungry for mergers, facing scrutiny across the board.
It's every three-letter acronym that you have in the government today. It's the EPA, it's the DOI, it's the BLM, it's the FTC, it's the SEC now coming out with some of their rules. And I think that, and it's just that environment that is not pro-business.
And his long-term concerns about the White House's pause on U.S. permits to export natural gas.
Why would I sign up for a long-term contract today to get gas from the United States if I think there's a chance that that pause is going to cause the gas supply not to be there?
Plus, no industry is immune from interest rates, that is.
Certainly the high interest rates stifle a bit of the global growth, certainly around the world and here in the United States, that does have an impact on demand at the end of the day.
I'm CNBC producer Cameron Costa. Squawk Pod reports from the Business Roundtable, ConocoPhillips CEO Ryan Lance begins right now. Today we're bringing you interviews from the Business Roundtable's spring meeting in D.C. The Business Roundtable, or BRT, is a group of over 200 American CEOs who advocate in Washington for policies to support a thriving U.S. economy. Together, the group supports a quarter of all American jobs and almost a quarter of U.S. GDP. Past chairs of the BRT have included Jamie Dimon of JPMorgan Chase and Doug Oberhelman, who at the time was CEO of Caterpillar. Today, Cisco's Chuck Robbins serves as chair. Also on the board, GM's Mary Barra, Apple's Tim Cook, United Airlines' Scott Kirby, and plenty of others, including our next guest, ConocoPhillips CEO Ryan Lance. Our co-host Becky Quick traveled to D.C.
Hello. Thanks so much for coming.
And she caught up with some of these leaders the morning of this group's spring meeting, and the morning they released the results of their quarterly CEO survey.
Their rating right now, just in terms of how they feel about the economy, it climbed 11 points to 85, and that's a little above the historic reading of 83. Also feeling pretty good about plans for capital investment and expectations for sales. Those are up double digits from the last quarter. They say their plans for hiring have ticked a little higher, too. But there was a special question they put on this last survey that they sent out to the Business Roundtable CEOs, asking them whether they think government policies are undermining American free enterprise. Over 75% of the CEOs said yes, they do think that.
Now, the energy industry in particular is evolving, and pushes to consolidate from giants like Exxon and Chevron have been met with regulatory scrutiny from the Federal Trade Commission. Still, other deals like Diamondback's in the Permian Basin are attempting to forge ahead. Oil players are also navigating the Biden administration's recent pause on permits for LNG exports. And this week, the SEC approved a new climate disclosure rule. It's all part of a complicated landscape for energy, as you'll hear in Becky's interview with ConocoPhillips CEO Ryan Lance. Here's that conversation in D.C.
Ryan, it's great to see you.
Thank you, Becky. Good to be here. Thank you.
We talked a little bit earlier this morning about the results of a poll that was released by the BRT yesterday. Mm-hmm. And in that poll, it suggested that CEOs are feeling pretty good about the economy. I think the outlook on the economy jumped by 11 points to 87, above the natural reading, I think, that's normally there, up to 85, above the natural reading of about the average of about 83.
83.
But at the same time, when asked about the policies the administration is putting forth at this point, 75%, more than 75% of the CEOs said that government policies right now are undermining American free enterprise. And a lot of them cited excessive regulation and overreaching antitrust actions. That's a bit of a dichotomy. You feel good about the economy, but bad about policies. How do you explain that?
Yeah, I think it's in the current moment in time, we are feeling pretty good about the economy. The growth, the GDP coming out of the fourth quarter has been been pretty impressive given the issues that we've dealt with over the last 3 to 4 years. So generally, I think the business community is feeling good, but it is about maintaining a competitive tax system, and part of that is the tax extender package that's in front of Senate today. It's about enhancing the workforce development process. It's about free trade, and it's about preventing burdensome regulation. And I think when you poll most of the CEOs today, it's attacking us from every direction. It's every three-letter acronym that you have in the government today. It's the EPA, it's the DOI, it's the BLM, it's the FTC, it's the SEC now coming out with some of their rules. And I think that, and it's just that environment that is not pro-business, that is not sort of enhancing what we could be doing even better than what we're doing today.
I mean, the American public may look at that and say, what do you mean attacking? How does it attack you? How does it make it tougher for you to do your jobs? Or how does it make it tougher for business to expand?
Well, I think it makes it more costly, and it extends the time at which it takes to do things. And it's stuff like the LNG permit pause. It is things like what the EPA is doing to our particular business. I think over the course of the last 2 years, we've had nearly 90 new regulations promulgated in our industry alone, as we think about what we're trying to do to enhance the competitiveness in the United States, increase the energy security in the United States, and do the things that we can do in our industry. But that's just a microcosm of what's happening, I think, across all of the business community. And that's what's got us mostly worried.
Let's drill down a little bit just on the LNG export, the pause that the administration put through. We've had people from the administration on, and they say it's not going to hurt things because it's just a pause. There's already enough capacity that's being put in that it's not going to affect anything that's been promised to other nations at this point. What do you say when they say it's not creating a problem?
Well, what happens in our business, Becky, is that what's happening today, the seeds were sowed a couple of years ago. And what you do today sows the seeds for the next couple of years. So if what you're going to do is put a pause on the LNG permitting, the customers in Europe, the customers in Asia that are buying U.S. because we've asked them to buy our gas to get away from Russian gas as they invaded Ukraine, what you do is you put a lot of uncertainty to that business. So people aren't going to start creating the gas supply to feed the LNG export chain and to feed the domestic needs in the U.S. So you actually cause prices to rise. But you're sowing the seeds of that next sort of issue that's going to come in a couple of years today. So yes, today it is not a problem. But when you put a pause on it, what you're doing is sowing the seeds for the next problem that's going to be created in a year or two or three down the road.
And I would think probably making our allies feel less certain.
Well, absolutely. Customers today are saying, well, can I count on it?
Right.
Is it going to be there? Why would I sign up for a long-term contract today to get gas from the United States if I think there's a chance that pause is going to cause the gas supply not to be there? So it creates that uncertainty in the market, and that's what the regulations, the permit pause, and everything that we do in business creates that uncertainty. Uncertainty leads to risk, which leads to ultimately higher costs for the consumers.
Ryan, let's talk a little bit about the oil and gas industry. I mean, there's some big deals that are in play at this point. ExxonMobil and Chevron both have deals valued at more than $50 billion that they're pursuing that were announced late last year. Everybody in the industry looks at this and thinks that there will be more consolidation to come. Are you guys in the hunt right now?
Well, we've said that, you know, our industry needs to consolidate. There's too many players. Scale matters. Diversity matters in the business, and we're going through a natural cycle of that in the business. And we're all competing for the same small group of investors that are out there in this space. So yes, it's healthy for our business. It's the right thing to be doing for our business. It's going to lower costs to the consumers. It's going to keep the competitiveness of the American energy system intact, and it's good. And we've said all along that it's the right thing to be doing for our industry. We've been active in this business over the last 3 to 4 years. We just bought lower in the cycle than others are buying today.
In terms of that, though, every deal that's been brought forth, from the Exxon deal for Pioneer, from the Chevron deal for Hess, I think even the Occidental deal for Crown Rock, you have antitrust regulators who are looking at these things and asking for more information.
Yeah, so, no, they're going through a second request that, as I understand, is quite extensive and probably overblown at the end of the day. Now, when you think about the competitiveness in the supply side, I mean, we're talking about 1% to 2% of the market. So it doesn't feel like there's any legal standing, you know, to disapprove of some of these mergers as they go forward. It doesn't feel like it's anti-competitive. It's actually going to lower costs for the consumers in the long run, and it's going to be more healthy for our industry in the long run.
So. But these questions that come from regulators, does it give you pause?
Absolutely.
Before you look at things?
Yeah. Well, you have to factor in a lot of time now, right? You can't. It's not something that is going to go through relatively quickly because they're going to dive all over the top of it and spend a lot of time. And again, that's the issue. At the end of the day, I think they are going to go through. It just creates a lot of uncertainty, a lot of time in the community.
How big of a backdrop does interest rates play on this, too? I mean, you've got Jay Powell testifying here once again in Washington today. Yesterday, it sounded like cuts are coming, but he's in no rush to cut interest rates.
Yeah, no, I think we watch that pretty closely. It's just sort of what GDP and what sort of global growth rate do you get, and what's the demand for oil and gas at the end of the day? And certainly the high interest rates stifle a bit of the global growth, certainly around the world and here in the United States, that does have an impact on demand at the end of the day. And that's a very cyclic business in our case.
Ryan, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Ryan Lance again, joining us from ConocoPhillips.
Thank you for listening to this special Squawk Pod Reports from the Business Roundtable in Washington, D.C. Stay tuned for another Squawk Pod Reports from the BRT in your feed today. It's Becky's interview with RTX CEO Greg Hayes on AI, U.S. defense, and Ukraine.
The Ukrainians are fighting an existential battle for their existence, and we have a moral obligation to defend that democracy. It's an existential threat to democracy, but one that we can afford.
Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. This episode was produced by me, Cameron Costa, Katie Kramer, and Zach Valisi. Our editor is Avelio Rodriguez. Have a great day.